Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Kuf Mem Tet. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Nassim and Elias Bassam in memory of their dear mother Sarah Bat Malka. Ruach Hashem Tanichena Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilun Ishmat Hacham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Abraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichem Began Eden. Amen. We are beginning on Daf Kuf Mem Chet on the bottom of the daf at the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, Mone Adam et Orchav ve et Parperotav mepiv aval lo mina ketav. Talking about a fellow here that's having guests over for Shabbat. So the Mishnah is telling us that he is allowed to mentally count the names of the guests that he's planning on having. However, he's not allowed to read a guest list. He's not allowed to read it from the Ktav. The Gemara is going to explain why can't you read the guest list from, let's say, a written paper. Furthermore, the Mishnah discusses counting your parperaot. Parperaot literally means your delicacies, which means he has a certain amount of food that he's serving, and he wrote it down on the paper. So you're not allowed to read the menu, so to speak, from the paper. You can only do it by heart. Again, the Mishnah will explain why. The Mishnah continues, Mafis Adam im bana ve'im bene beto ala shulchan. It is permissible for a fellow on Shabbat to make a lottery with the members of his household, which means who's going to get what piece of food. So they're able to make a lottery somehow in order to divide up the different parts of food. Ubilvad shelo yitkaven la'asot maneh gedola keneged maneh ketana. So long as you don't make a lottery where one person wins a big piece and then the other kid wins a smaller piece. You have to do it in a way where there is equal portions being divided. That again, there's no different sizes. The Gemara will explain the reason. Furthermore, umatirin halashin ala kadashim biyom tov. Halashim is another word for lots. You're able to draw lots, again, the Kohanim we're talking now, for the Korbanot of Yom Tov, which is to divide the different Korbanot amongst the Kohanim, who gets which piece, so they're able to divide that on Yom Tov through the aid of a lottery. Aval lo ala manot, but not on the portions. The Gemara will explain what those portions are referring to. And we begin the Gemara. My Tama, what's the reason why we don't want you to read the guest list? What's the problem? Rabbi Bai Amar Gezerah Shem Meyimchok. Rabbi Bai says it's a Gezerah that you might come to erase one of the names. That she explains what's going to happen. You might realize that you don't have enough food. And therefore, this guest list they used to give to the attendant, and he used to go around on Shabbat and invite all the people. So if he notices that he doesn't have enough food, he might erase one of the names off the list before he gives it to his shamosh to go invite everybody. So therefore, you can only go through the guests mentally by heart, but not reading it from a paper. Abaye Amar Gezerah Shem Yikra B'Shtareh Yotot. I mean, this is a different reason. If we allow you to read this document of your guest list, you might come to read what's called Shtareh Yotot, which means like documents that have to do with business, that contracts and the different legal documents like that that are asur to read on Shabbat. So basically there's two reasons. Either Shem Yimchok, right, erase, or it might lead you to read business documents that are forbidden on Shabbat. My Benayu, so the Gemara says, what's the difference between the two answers? Ika Benayu de Katav Akotel Umidle. But let's say the guest list was written on the wall in ink high up. Yeah, that would be a practical difference between these two shittot. Again, it was written in ink, erasable ink, on the wall
high up.
Leman b'amar shema yimchok lo chayshinan. According to the opinion that says that you might come to erase, we don't suspect, because since it's so high, it's not probable that you're going to erase something like that. Leman b'amar shema yikra chayshinan. But according to the opinion that says, if we let you read the guest, the Shema come to read, so it still applies, even if it's written on the wall, high up. So now the Gemara says, according to the opinion that is concerned, that Shema come to erase, why does he suspect that you also might come to read, so we understand his reason. His reason is he might come to erase. But shouldn't he be concerned also about the other rabbi's reason, meaning Abaye's reason now that he might come to reach the edge of thought, the two, and furthermore, Neshime Yimchok, Lo Chayshinan? Are you telling me that just because you wrote it on a wall, high up, you're not going to suspect that you might come to erase? Even though you're right, it might not be probable that you're going to come to erase in such a case, but still, he should suspect. Why? Because we're going to prove now, we have a certain rule in Halakha that Rabbah subscribes to. The rule of Rabbah is lo pelug rabbanan, which means when the rabbis make a gezerah, so their gezerah goes across the board. They don't start making pelukim if it's low, if it's high. Once they say it's asud, because it might come to erase, it's usually asud in all cases. So we're going to prove that Rabbah holds this principle la pelug. La pelug means the rabbis did not differentiate in their gezerot. How do we know that from? From a case that we learned early in the Masechet. V'atanya, we learned in the Braita, V'atanan, some say it's the Mishnah, lo yikra l'oranir. Right, we learned in the Mishnah that on Shabbat you're not allowed to read to the light of a candle. We learned why, because it might come to flicker, and you might come to tilt the oil in order to get it to draw in the flame. V'amar Rabba, V'afilu gavoa shtei komot. Even if, let's say, the light is two stories high, or it's two mardaot high. A marda used to be the stick that they used to have on the side of the animals when it was plowing. They used to use it as a measuring stick. So even if it's two mardaot, two goads high, it's a measurement. Even if it's 10 houses, one on another, and the candle is on the top floor, where it's very rare that you're going to come to flicker because you're so far away from the candle. Still, what does Rava say? Lo yikra. Why? Because he subscribes to the opinion that says once the rabbis make a gezerah, they don't make a difference between if it's applicable or not applicable. Therefore, when they say you shouldn't read to the light of the candle, I don't care where the candle is. So the same thing should be when it comes to not reading this guest list. I don't care if it's written on the wall, I don't care if it's written high. The opinion that says that you might come to erase should say, no pelug. That just like it's asud when it's low that you might come to erase, should be asud also when it is high. So comes the Gemara and says, Ela. Okay, so we reject that difference, and we'll say a new answer. Ikra bena, you know what the difference between the two answers is? Dikatab akotel umitete. Where you wrote it on the wall with ink, the guest list, and it's low. Now, what will be the practical difference? According to the opinion that says you might come to erase, okay, of course we're going to suspect because since it's low, it's definitely possible that you will erase. But the opinion that says that you might come to read, we're not going to suspect. Why? A person is not going to make a mistake between a wall and a shtar, which means just because it's written on a wall, that's not going to cause him to come to read a document, because there's a big difference between a wall and a document. If the issue is erasing, just like you can erase on a paper, you can erase on the wall. But if the issue is Shema Yikra Vishtarei Hujatot, a person does not make a mistake in mixing up between a wall and a shtar. So the Gemara says, Shema Yikra, Lihu Shema Yimchok. Now we go the other way. Yeah, but the opinion that says that you might come to read Shtereh Jotot, and therefore it's written on the wall, even low, I'm not worried. Yeah, but you should be concerned about Shema Yimchok. Why aren't you worried about the other opinion that says that you might come to erase? Ela, so I'll give a different answer. Ikabenayu dehaik atabla upinkas. Where it was haik. Haik means it was engraved on a tabla, on a, literally means a tablet, or pinkas is a ledger. These were like types of writing, they used to write on these things. One of them was made like out of a wax that was on top of it, and they would take an instrument and they would like scrape the letters inside. So it's not really like a paper or a document, but these were different types of situations where they would write on them, a tabla, the tablet, or the pinkas, the ledger, and they would like the hayek, they would engrave the words in. So what I want to say, if you wrote the guest list on a pinkas or a tabla, that would be the difference. Let's see what the difference is. According to the opinion that something might come to erase, we don't suspect, because these items are not so easily erasable. It's not like ink where you just have to erase it. This is already etched into the tabla, and therefore, by the time you start erasing it, you'll remember that it is asur, since it's not so easy. Yeah, but according to the opinion that says you might come to read documents, we don't let you read it on a tabla open kas, because you might come to read it on a regular document. Meaning, so the Gemara says, we go back to another question. According to the opinion that says that in this case we're not worried about erasing, you're right, but you should be worried about that you might come to read. So the Gemara says, and maybe you're going to tell me, no, there's a difference between a tablanu pinkas and a document, which means you're not coming. The opinion that says Shemayim Hok will say that you're not going to worry about erasing because it's difficult to erase. And we're not worried that you might come to read a document because these items are not similar to documents. So that's not so. V'atanya, we're not to be brighter. Mone Adam kama b'biftim v'kama b'chutz. A person is allowed to count the guests on Shabbat, how many are going to sit in the b'fnim, meaning we're talking about the seating arrangements, how many people are going to sit inside, they come in b'chutz, and how many are going to sit outside, meaning you're allowed to think in your mind exactly where the guests are going to sit. They come in manot atid laniach lefnehem, and you're able to calculate also how much food, for example dessert, you're going to place in front of them. Mikhtav sha'al gabe ha-kotel. So it's permissible to read only the writing that is on the wall. Aval lo mikhtav sha'al gabe tabla u'pinkas. So you see clearly it says, but you cannot read it from a tabla u'pinkas. The Gemara says, hechi dame, what's the case exactly? Ilema dekhtav mikhtav. If you're telling me that it was written, for example, it's written on the wall and it's written on the tabla u'pinkas, ma'ishina hacha u'ma'ishina hacha. What should be the difference? Which means it should be a suit in both cases, because you can come to erase. Which is, if it was just written on the wall and written in the tabla pinkas, which is regular writing, writing is easy. It's easy to erase, whether it's on a wall, right? I don't care high or low, because we say no peluk. And on the tabla pinkas also, if it's written, for sure it should be a suit in both cases. What were we talking about? The hayek. It must be talking about where it was engraved, where it was etched. V'ketani, and what does it say? Mikhtav sha'al gabei ha-kotel. Which is only when it's etched on the wall, where I'll say what? I'll say that there's no problem of erasing because it's etched. And I'll say that there's no problem of shtarei hidyotot because you don't make a mistake between a wall and a shtar. Aval lo mikhtav sha'al gabei tavla u'pinkas. But what did it say? It said clearly you cannot write on the, read it from the tabla u'pinkas. Now erasing we're not going to be worried about because it is hayek, because it is engraved. But still it's asur. It must be what? That if you allow you to do it on tabla u'pinkas, you might come to read it from a shtarei hidyotot. So therefore, then the question then is, even a tabla u'pinkas, if it is etched, it should be asur according to everybody. Because you might come to read it from shtarei hidyotot. Ela. So can I give this final answer? Le'olam dekatav akotel u'midleh. Going back to the original answer. We're talking about where its guest list is written on the wall, and it's written high. Oh, so now we had a question. We said, if you're going to go according to the opinion that what, the main reason is that you might come to be shtarei hidyotot, no problem. Because why? Because you don't make a mistake between a wall and shtarei hidyotot. Yeah, but what about according to the opinion that says you might come to a race. And don't tell me that since it's high, that we don't care, because we learned the koin to Rabba, no pelug. Now once you make a gezerah, it should be a sur in all cases. Ah, ude kakasha lak de Rabba. Ah, and that answer had a question of Rabba, de Rabba tanaehi. You have to know that it's actually a mahloket tanaim. If you say lo pelug in this case or not, so therefore Rabba is only one opinion. But there's another opinion out there. What's the opinion? The Tanya, we have a brayta. Mone adam et orchav et perperotav mepiv. You're allowed to count your guests and your delicacies with your mouth verbally. Avalo min haktav, right? But not from the writing. Ravacha matir mechtav shal gabe akota. Where Ravacha allowed you to read it from the wall. So the Gemara says, "Hechidame." Either by the katim etatayf, or it's written on the wall low. The Hoshem ayimchok. Then everybody should be suspicious that you might come to a race. Ela lav the katavu midle. Ela must be talking about it was on the wall and it was written high up. So we see over here what? We're talking about a case where it's written on the wall and it's written high. And we have a machloket. One rabbi says it's asur, because obviously he'll hold lo pilug. And the other rabbi says mutar, because he'll hold. No, in this case over here, the shtanehid, you're taught, you're not going to come to read. You don't make a mistake between a wall and a shtar. A race, and you're also not going to come to a race. Why? Because it is high. I went about Lopilug. Obviously, you see one of the Tanaim hold that did not say Lopilug. And therefore, I can say that that's the nafkamina between Rabbi Bai and Abaye, where you wrote it on the wall and you wrote it high. One rabbi is going to say that it's going to be a problem, because bottom line, you might come to a race. What do you mean I might come to a race? It's up high. It doesn't matter. Lopilug. And the other rabbi will tell you, no. You only suspect that you're going to come to a race when it's written low on the wall, where it's possible to race. When it's written high on the wall, mutar, because the rabbis do differentiate in their gezerot. So that is the bottom line, nafkamina, between the two answers. Really, everybody holds of each other's reasonings. The one that holds Shemi Yehok also holds that what? Shemi Yikrav Ishtar Ejotot. The one that says Shemi Yikrav Ishtar Ejotot also holds of Shemi Yehok. So where's the nafkamina? The mahloket is, do you say lo pelug or not? In the case of, you wrote it on high, on the wall. If you say what? Lo pelug. So therefore it's going to be asur high as well as asur low. If you say no, that's if you say lo pelug. If you say that what? Notice the difference. When you write it low, you might come to a race. When you write it high, no gizrat, you might come to a race. So that is the nafkamina. The hani tane'e ken hani tane'e. Just like we see in Mahluket Tana'im, in this regard, the writing on the top of the wall, it's a similar mahluket of other tane'e, meaning the mahluket between of aha. And this braita and Tanakama is also another machloket regarding lo pilug. The Tanya, we have another braita. En ro'in b'mar'eh b'shabbat. The Tanakama says you're not allowed to look in a mirror on Shabbat. Rabbi Meir matir b'mar'eh hakavua b'kotel. Whereas Rabbi Meir says it's permissible to look at a mirror that is affixed on the wall. Now, let's analyze this reason why Hachemi would say it's forbidden to look in the mirror. Exactly, because when one looks in the mirror, he might see that his hair is out of place. One of the hairs are sticking out. He might come take a scissors, and he might come to cut his hair. So they forbade you to look in the mirror. Whereas the Bimi'ir made a Hiluk. He said, if the mirror is fixed against the wall, no problem. However, it's not fixed against the wall, it's a problem. But I want to know in the Bimi'ir. What's the reason when it's attached to the wall? What's the logic why it's mutar? Because by the time you see the hair that's taken out of your place, and you're going to walk to get the scissors, and you're going to come back, by all that time you'll end up remembering that it's Shabbat. So the Gemara says for the same reason, even if it's not attached to the wall, the mirror, you still have to go get the scissors. So, in the interim, by the time you go get the scissors, you remember. So, to be Meir, why do you make a difference between attached to the wall or not attached? So, bottom line, it should be mutar in both cases, because you always will remember that it's Shabbat by the time you get the scissors. So, the Gemara says, Hacha b'mar'eh shel matechet askinan. We're talking about a metal mirror. And what's so special about a metal mirror? It serves two purposes. Not only could you look in the mirror, but you can also use the mirror to actually cut the hair. So therefore, Rabbi Meir says, when it's attached to the wall, it's mutar. You know why? Because you can't use the mirror to cut your hair because it's attached to the wall. When it's not attached to the wall, mutar. I'm sorry, not attached to the wall, asur. Why? Because you might come to take your hair and cut it with the mirror. So obviously you see what? Rabbi Meir doesn't hold to this concept of lo pilug, which means he makes a difference. The Tanakama said it's asur on all mirrors. Metal mirrors, whether it's attached, whether it's not. Because Tanakama says what? Once the rabbi is making gezerah, finished. It's across the board. Well, you see, the Bimia is not like that. Bimia says, where it applies, it applies. Where it doesn't apply, it doesn't apply. And the mirror that's attached to the wall, it doesn't apply because you can't come to cut your hair with the mirror. So what are you going to do? You're going to go get the scissors. By the time you go get the scissors and come back, you remember it's Shabbat. But if it's not attached to the wall, the gizraj, you might come to cut with the mirror itself. Uchtirav Nachman Amar Abba Bar Abu. Tamar Rav Nachman Amar Abba Bar Abu. Mepeneh ma'amru mar'eh shumateket asura. What's the reason why the rabbi said a metal mirror is asur to look in? On Shabbat, if there's Shadam asur lehashir ba, nimin amduldali. Because a person might come to cut the hairs that are midudal, that are dangling. And therefore, that's the gezerah. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. Ktav hamalech tahat asura. The writing that is under a picture. Sometimes they draw pictures and underneath it they write exactly what the picture is. Or v'tachat hadiyuknaot. Diyuknaot, as she says, is like pictures of situations, like a picture of a war, or that he says, for example, David and Goliath, different pictures that come from, let's say, the Nevi'im, and then they write on the bottom who it is, David, Goliath, I mean the captions that are under the pictures or the pictures of the situations. Let's read that sheet together in that. Tahat atzura v'tahat adukna'ot. Kegon, b'nei adam hamtsayirim bekotel, like people they draw on the walls, hayot mishonot, different animals, for example, or diukna'ot shel b'nei adam, which is, or images of different people, shel ma'asim kegon, melhamed David v'Goliath, like they draw the picture of David fighting Goliath. V'chotvim tahteh zu surat haya ploni, and they write, this is a picture of such and such an animal. Zu diyukni ploni ploni. This is the situation of, like for example, David and Goliath. Asu lekot b'shabat nashi, shemi yikra b'shtareh jyotot. Interesting. The rabbis do not even want you to read the captions under the pictures on Shabbat, lest you come to read shtareh jyotot, which is here, even though it's written on a wall. The rabbis were more strict when it came to these things, because here there's no necessity to read it at all. You know, on the guest list that was written on the wall, they were more lenient. However, here, the pictures that are written on the wall, they don't even want you to read the captions, lest you come and read Shtarei Yotot. So the Gemara says, Asur Gdom Shabbat, V'diyukna Atzma. And when it comes to the picture itself, even during the week you shouldn't look at it. Now we're talking about over here, Tosfot says obviously where it's a picture that was drawn for Avodah Zarah. It was just a regular picture of some situation, it's not a problem to look at it. But if it was done for the Avodah Zarah, you can't even look at it during the week. Forget about the caption, the image itself. So the Gemara says, what's the proof? Shnei Emar, Al Tifnu El Ha'ililim, which is don't turn to the idols. So the Gemara says, "My Talmuda, where do you learn from this pasuk that you can't look at a picture that was made for Avodah Zarah?" So Amar of Hanin, "Al tifnu el midatechem." Do not turn to something that was fashioned by human beings. How did the pasuk mashma like that? Look at Rashi, "El midatechem." El asher atem osim midat lebabchem v'halal shelachem. Do not look at things that were created from a person's own idea and own mind. Meaning the word elilim is lashon halalim. Halalim means from your inside, which means things that were fashioned by men according to their ideas. Al tifnu el ha'elilim. Do not look at things, which is if it's nature, nature was created by God. But al tifnu ila elilim, do not go turn to things that were made by human beings from their halal, from their insides and from their ideas. The Meiri learns a little differently. He learns the pasuk, al tifnu el ha'elilim, which means do not sway away from God. El, he learns, is God's name. Al tifnu el ha'elilim, by looking at the avodah zara. In any event, the Gemara concludes that even looking at captions would be asur on Shabbat. Again, Rashi said, because she might come to reach that hejotot. The halakha will discuss looking, reading street signs and window signs of the stores and things like that, because you see, obviously, Hakamim are being very strict on what you're allowed to even read on Shabbat. Comes the Gemara and says, "Mafis adamim banav." Oh, so we said it's a person's allowed to make a lottery with his children at the table. Meaning, there's different food around the table. So, okay, who's going to get the dark meat? Okay, we'll make a lottery. Who's going to get the white meat? Then they can make a lottery around the table to split up the food. So the Gemara says, "In banav, in bene beto in." Yeah, it sounds like you can only make this lottery around the table on Shabbat with your children and your family. Ve'im aher lo. But smashma, with someone that's not in your family, you would not be able to make this lottery. My tama, what's the reason why you would not be able to make it? Kederav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Bene Havuram Matpidim Ze'al Zeh. If you have a group of people that are particular with each other, which means they're not family members, and if each person is Makpid, that they want to make sure that they get what they get, they don't want the other friend to get more than them, and so on and so forth. So they're careful, they're particular with each other. So it says, on Yom Tov, Ovrim Mishum Mida, Umishum Mishkal, Umishum Minyan, Umishum Lovinu Purim B'Yom Tov. Which means, if they're going now to sit down, and let's say, make this type of lottery with the food, it's possible that they can transgress all these Isurim on Yom Tov. Number one is Mida. What is Mida? Mida literally means measuring. So the Tosfot action is Tosfot on the bottom of the daf going on to the second side of the Amud explains the problem of each case over here. So he says the first thing is Mida, which means what are we worried about? They might come over here to measure the food in order that each guy knows how much they're getting. And regular people that don't care, give it this way, give it that way. But if you're Makpid, you want to know exactly how much. And that's going to be Asur on Yom Tov. So the Tosfot says, and I quote, "Aval le'makpidim notinu etzah shlo yishtatefu." Guys that are particular with each other, you know what? They shouldn't sit together and eat on Yom Tov. And who have you Shabbat? Why? I quote Tosfot, "Shekerobin hem laboni de'isud midah, v'chen li de'isud mishkal." Which means either Mida is measuring the food or Mishkal is actually weighing the food to make sure that what? Each guy is getting the same amount. Gam b'yom tov lo yergishu. Even during the week, these guys measure and weigh the food to make sure that each guy is getting a fair share. So they might come to do it on Yom Tov. He says, for example, when one guy is going to ask for 60 egozim at the table, I want 60 nuts. Yomar lo ten li mem. The other guy's going to say he got 60, right? So he's going to say you owe me another 40 to make a 100. Kemo shirigim la'asot, and that's already asur. When you're counting, that's minyan. That's asur, which means let's say that the guy wants 100, right? He says, all right, give me your 60. He gives 60. All right, you owe me 40 more. And that already type of talk they don't like on Yom Tov. And what about lovinu purim? They're going to be over lending and borrowing. We learned in the previous Mishnah that on Yom Tov or Shabbat, you can only use the word, if you want to borrow something, hash'ileni, right? You're not allowed to use the word halveni. Now, halveni, halva'a is usually something that is, let's say, 30 days, right? You have to pay back. So guys that are makpid with each other, so if they want to borrow something, they use the word halveni because he wants more time to pay back. He's not going to use the word hashi'ilin because then he knows he has to pay it back immediately. So therefore we're worried on people that are makpid with each other, they shouldn't sit down on at the table together. What are they going to tell each other? You know what? Halveni, give me a halva'ah. And saying the word halva'ah on Yom Tov and Shabbat would be asus, it could be over on this item as well. And then the Gemara says, and we start on the Amud Bet, Uchtevre Betelel, and according to Betelel, which we learned his opinion yesterday, at Mishum Repeat. Even you have an issue of ribit. But today we learned, yesterday said, that you shouldn't even lend each other bread. Why? Because if a lady, let's say, lends her friend bread, what's going to happen? The bread might go up in price. Now when you pay it back, you're paying back an equal loaf, and now the loaf already went up in price, and therefore you're giving back bread plus. That would be interest. Now when it comes to friends, if let's say we're friends, and I borrow a loaf of bread, okay, now I know the price went up, so I don't have a problem giving you a little less than a whole loaf. Because we're friends, you don't care about the fact that I gave you back a little less than a whole loaf, even though I borrowed a loaf. We're friends, we're not makpid. But our people that are particular with each other, if he borrows a whole loaf, he's embarrassed to give back less than a loaf, because you know, the guy wants the loaf back. So what's going to end up happening? He's going to give him the full loaf back. It's going to be worth more money. You're going to have a problem of ribit. So what do you see over here? When it comes to your family, for some reason, these items are not an issue because they're not particular with each other. But when it comes to other people that are particular with each other, all these can be potential problems when you are sitting at the table together. So the Gemara says, which means, what are you talking about? Over here, the issue of ribit should also apply to the children, which means, if you're going to, let's say, lend your children food, right? And so to speak, make them pay you back. Now when they're going to pay you back, they might pay you back more than you gave them. So therefore, just like the ribit applies by strangers, the ribit should apply by the children. So the Gemara wants to know. So the Gemara said, "Banav ubnei beto hainu tamah kedrav Yehuda Amarav." That's following Yehuda Amarav. That said what? Tamah Yehuda Amarav mutav lehalvot banav ubnei beto berebit. When it comes to your children, you could give them a loan, even though there's rebit. How could that be? You have to charge your children rebit. So the Gemara says something interesting. Kedel hat imam tam rebit, in order to give them the taste of how bad ribit is. Normally, when it comes to teaching our children, we like to teach them good examples. Here it's saying, you know what? You could lend your kids this food, for example. Now when they're going to give it to you back, they're going to realize that they're giving you back more, and they're going to say, wow, how terrible is this thing over here? We only borrowed this, and we have to give back more. So they'll feel exactly the negative side of ribit. Now, why are you allowed to do that with your children? Because it's really not ribit. Because it's all the father's money anyway. He's giving them a loaf of bread. They're paying him back. It's all the same pocket. We're talking about banav uvne beto, meaning it's the children that are relying on the father for panasa. So therefore, the Gemara is calling it the ribit, but it's really not the ribit at all. But you're allowed to even do something that looks like the ribit to your children. Why? So the kids will learn a lesson that they feel it, that they have to pay back more than they took. So the Gemara says, if that's the problem, why can't you also make lotteries for who's going to get the big piece and who's going to get the small piece? Well, let's analyze. Why should that be asur at all? What's the difference, big piece, small piece? Because we have a rule regarding gambling. When a person gambles, let's say, there's a lottery, right? So he's gambling that he's going to win the big piece, right? So the halakha, and somebody's going to get the small piece. So the halakha says that the guy that takes the big piece, after he wins, that's considered stealing. Why? Because the other guy, when he bet, he was planning on winning the big piece. And therefore the Gemara calls that asmachta lo kanya, which means the fact that the guy agreed to place the bet and agreed that, yeah, you could take it, it's not a kinyan. Why? Because in his heart, he would have said, if I knew I wasn't going to win, I wouldn't have put the money down. So then when you take that guy's money, you're really taking money that he doesn't want to give. And nobody goes into a bet in order to lose. You're playing to win. So therefore, when it comes to strangers, you're going to stop making a bet. Okay, oh, we're going to make a bet. Who's going to get the big piece? Who's going to get the small piece? So now, some guy got the big piece, the other guy who lost, he's upset. So they just could be stealing from him. So when it comes to strangers playing this lottery, would be asur. But for your children, already if you're telling me it's from the same pocket, so really it's not even gambling. So therefore you should even be allowed to make a lottery on Shabbat with the kids. Who's going to get the bigger piece? And who's going to get the smaller piece? Because it's not theirs anyway. So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right, by the way. V'hasurim mehsera. I really have to adjust the Mishnah. V'ashi ketari. Read the Mishnah like this. Mafis adamim banav im b'nei beto ala shulchan afinu banah gedola keneged maneh ketana. Which means you're even allowed to make a lottery, and one guy's going to get a bigger piece, and one guy's going to get a smaller piece. My tama, what's the reason? Because Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, in banav im bnei betoin, in maharim, no. Like we just said, that with his family, yes, with others, no. Now, my tama, what's the reason with others is going to be asur? Because Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, maneh gedolah keneged maneh ketana, af behol laharim asur. Even during the week, with others is asur. My tama mishim kuvya. Kuvya literally means dice. Dice means gambling, because it's a form of gambling, and the people when they bet, like I said, they don't want to bet to lose. Now, fine. Comes the Gemara and continues. Matilin halashim. So we said we're allowed, the Kohanim are allowed to draw lots on Yom Tov in order to split the korbanot. Right? The sacrifices on Yom Tov. So there's groups of Kohanim there. So who's going to get what? They draw lots. Who's going to get which part? So the Gemara says, "My aval lo al hamanot," but it says they do not draw lots for the portions. What is this portions? So the Gemara says, "Amar Yaakov bere debat Yaakov aval lo al hamanot shel chol biyom tov." Aha. Let's say Yom Tov is on a Tuesday. Okay. So yesterday's korbanot, which was Monday, that's already a weekday. So you're not allowed to draw lots to divide the weekday korbanot on Yom Tov. That was already yesterday. You could have done it the day before. We're not going to let you start drawing lots. Today's korban, okay, today's Yom Tov. The korban's brought today. Draw the lot. But for yesterday, what are you doing whole work that you could have done yesterday? So that's what it means, avalo ala manot. But not on the portions that were from the day before, from the whole. So the Gemara says, pshita. Isn't that obvious? I need the Mishnah to tell me that. It says, "Ma'u detema ho'il uchtiv." Since it's written regarding the Kohanim, I'll read you the pasuk. The pasuk is in Hosea. Ve'amecha kimribe kohen. The prophet compares the nation to like quarreling Kohanim. So it seems Kohanim are, they bicker with each other. So therefore, afilu manot dehon nameh. So I might have thought that since Kohanim are quarreling with each other, you know what? You better even let them allow to make the lottery for the whole korbanot, because otherwise they're going to fight with each other. Kamashmalan. That's why I come and say, even though they're quarrelsome by nature, still you can't draw the lotteries from yesterday's korbanot. That's the chiddush. Now, we have some chiddushim from Rav Yaakov, the son of the daughter of Yaakov. כל שחברו נענש על ידו אין מכניסין אותו במחיסתו של הקדוש ברוך הוא. The Gemara says a rule over here. Anybody that causes his friend to be punished in Geinam, let's say, on his account, so he gets punished that he will not be able to enter the mechitzah of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He will not be able to enter the area of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning, if you cause your friend to get punished, for example, you tell God, punish him because he did this to me. So as a result of you, you're causing your friend to get a punishment. God doesn't like that. So God will not let you enter his inner chamber in the Shamayim. You do not enter the Mechitzah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara wants to know, how do we know that? How do we know that if you're responsible for your friend's punishment, that you also get punished as well? Min alam. Says, I lema mishum dichtiv. Maybe we know this from a story in the Navi. Let's review the story outside, then we'll read the Pesukim inside. There was a fellow called Ahav. Ahav was the king of Israel. He was a very, very bad king. There was an episode when he was alive, he had a neighbor. His neighbor was called Navot. Navot had a field. Ahav wanted the neighbor's field. It didn't belong to him, but he wanted it. So Izebel, his wife, made a whole ruse in order that Ahav would be able to take the field. They brought false witnesses against Navot. They claimed that he, Chas v'Shalom, committed blasphemy. And as a result of that, they ended up killing him. It was a setup. and they ended up taking his field. So now it came Ahav's time to die. So God says, does anybody have an idea how we can get Ahav drawn into the war in order that he can die? So the spirit of Navot, the spirit already was in Shamayim already. The spirit of Navot says, yeah, I have an idea. Just like he, you know, lied to me, you know, and made false witnesses against me, let one of his prophets tell a lie that he should go to the war. He'll get drawn into the war and he'll get killed. So it was Navot's idea to send a spirit into the prophet to lie to him. Now the Gemara is going to say, it came out that it was Navot, the spirit already of Navot, that brought the downfall of Ahav. And the Pasuk is going to say that even the spirit of Navot was punished. So therefore they want to prove from this what? That because he was the cause of Ahav's downfall, Mom, your friend got punished on account of you, so therefore you don't get to be in the Mechitza. The Gemara is going to reject it, but let's see what the proof was. Let's read it inside. Now, Yomer Hashem, God said, Mi yifateh et Ahav. Who was going to seduce Ahav? Ve'yahal ve'yipol beramot Gilad. So he can go to the place called Ramot Gilad and fall there, die there. Ve'yomer ze becha, ve'ze amad becha. So each spirit, you know, this one gave this reason, or this idea, and this one gave that idea. Ve'yitze aruach. So the spirit came. Ve'yamod ifne Hashem. Ve'yomer ani yafatinu. So the spirit said, I will seduce him. Vayomer etzeh vayiti ruach sheker b'fi kol nebiyav. I'll go out and I'll be a false spirit in the mouth of his prophets. Vayomer tefteh vegam tuchal. It's fine. Go do it. Tseh v'aseh ken. Go out and do it. Who is the spirit? This was the spirit of Navot. And what did God mean when he told him, go out? He told God, that's what you're doing? You can leave my mechitza. You can leave my area. So what do you see from over here? That because the spirit of Navot was subject to cause Ahav to get punished, so God chastised the spirit and said, "Seh." So comes the Gemara and says, "No, v'dilma hatamainu tama." No, maybe the reason why Navot was punished was not because he was the cause of Ahav's downfall. After all, Ahav, let's say, deserved it. But what? Dichtiv dover shekarim lo yikun, because it says the ones that lie cannot be in the presence of God. It's one of the groups that cannot see Shekhinah. And what was the idea of the spirit of Navot? Will be a lying spirit in his prophets. Which means, you're right, Ahav had to die. And there was no problem for Navot being the one to give the idea. But you know what the issue was over here? Why did you have to give advice to lie? You could have given an advice to do it in a truthful way. Now, we have a rule. God works with a person's free will, even the spirit. And then when the spirit over here gave the advice to lie, fine. But bottom line, once you chose a road of lying, God cannot tolerate lying, even he asked, even if it was the spirit, still he excommunicated the spirit of Navot. So we have no proof yet. So we can bring it from these pesukim over here. Now these pesukim are going to be talking about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel. So the pasuk says, Savarta kalon mekavod. Nebuchadnezzar, you were satiated with humiliation and shame more than honor. Shete gam ata. You will drink also the he'aril. The Aril and the uncircumcised one. What is this pasuk talking about? Sabata kalon mechabod. Who was the one that was satiated with more humiliation than respect? Ze Nebuchadnezzar. This is referring to Nebuchadnezzar. Rashi tells us that Nebuchadnezzar was actually a pervert. He used to fulfill mishkav zachur, homosexuality, on all the kings. Which means all the kings, he would bring them to his palace and he would sodomize them.
And then it says that he eventually tried to do it to the Jewish king, Tzidkiyah, and God humiliated Nebuchadnezzar, as the Gemara is going to say, his foreskin extended 300 amot, which means it was a very, very shameful situation. And a lot of the rabbis want to learn this, it was actually literal, as we're going to see in a moment. So therefore, we're saying to Nebuchadnezzar, you suffered more shame than Kavod. With all that, you know, promiscuity that you did, then you try to do it on Tzidkiyah. So what does the pasuk say? You're going to drink from that cup. Now, what is this referring to? Ha'aril zeh Tzidkiyah, which means this is referring to Tzidkiyah, meaning the pasuk is saying Tzidkiyah, you're going to drink from the same cup that Nebuchadnezzar drank from. Why? Because bottom line, you caused Nebuchadnezzar to get punished. He tried to sodomize Tzidkiyah. As a result, what happened? God came and punished Nebuchadnezzar by embarrassing. So the pasuk says, "Shtei gamata." You're going to drink from the same cup of troubles. So from here you see what? That if you're the cause of your friend's punishment, you get punished as well. So the Gemara says, hold it. Hada, number one, dechune krab Nebuchadnezzar kiti. First of all, the whole pasuk is referring to Nebuchadnezzar. It's not that the beginning is talking about Nebuchadnezzar that was shamed, and then shtei gamata, you drink also, is talking about Tzidkiyah. No, the whole pasuk is talking about Nebuchadnezzar, which means the pasuk is saying that just like you did this to the kings, so you're going to also drink from the same cup, and you're going to get punished. Now, which means that she says shtei gamata, which means that she says what Nebuchadnezzar used to do was he used to get them drunk first. He used to give them to drink wine, the kings. They would get drunk and then he would sodomize them. So therefore, he said, just like you gave them to drink and you did that, you're going to drink from the cup of troubles as well. Now, when it says, Ve'od Tzidkiyah Tzidikah, may have an enemy Abadle. And furthermore, what do you want from Tzidkiyah? He was a Tzaddik, he was a victim. Which is, you're going to punish Tzidkiyah? He didn't go out of his way to do something to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar came to commit homosexuality with him. So he was a victim. So now you're going to tell me Tzidkiyah should get punished because he was a victim to Nebuchadnezzar? The Amar of Yehuda Amara, B'sha'a Shebikesh Oto Rasha La'asot Oto Tzaddikah, like we're going to learn in a moment, that when Nebuchadnezzar tried to do this to Tzidkiyah, like we learned, he got punished. Ela Mehaka. So we know from this Pasuk, how do we know that if a person is the cause of a person's punishment, that he gets punished also? It says, Gam Anosh LaTzaddik Lo Tov, which means, for the Tzaddik to punish, Lo Tov. The pasuk says it's not good. Again, gam anosh la tzaddik, that a tzaddik to punish others, to be the cause of punishing others. What does the pasuk say about that tzaddik? Lo tov, it's not good. So the Gemara says en lo tov ela ra. Lo tov means it is ra. It is bad. And what do we know about bad people? Uchtiv ki lo el hafetz reshach ata. God does not want evilness. Lo yigurecha ra. You do not dwell with evil. Tzadikata Hashem velo yagur b'mugurecha ra. In your dwellings will not be ra. Now if you're telling me that when the tzaddik punishes a person, it's lo tov, that means the tzaddik is ra. And what do we know about people that are ra? Lo yagurecha ra. God does not dwell in the midst of the bad people. So therefore we learn from over here this pasuk that the tzaddik should not be the cause of the punishment of others. So the Gemara says now, Me'e mashma dahai halashim mishnah de puria. Now we go back to another point. We just said what in the Mishnah? That on Shabbat, the Kohanim are not allowed to make lotteries amongst themselves. Well, actually, for the Korbanot of the holiday itself, they're able to make lotteries. And what was the Lashon of the Mishnah for lotteries? So the Mishnah used the word halashim. So the Gemara wants to know, where do you see the word halashim refers to a lottery? Because we know the word puria. But where, the Mishnah's lashon, if you look at the end of the Mishnah, what did it say? Umatilin halashim ala kadashim. That they're able to draw lots on the korbanot. How do you know the word halashim is a lot? So the Gemara says, because we have a pasuk, dichtiv. This pasuk also referring to Nebuchadnezzar. The pasuk says, Ech nafalta meshamayim helel ben shachar nigdata la'ares cholesh al goyim. Pasuk says, how did you fall from the heavens, Hillel ben Shachar, which is son of the morning star, nigdata la'aretz, you were plucked down to the earth, cholesh al goyim. Now what does it mean, cholesh al goyim? Nebuchadnezzar, this is referring to how he was very high. So the Nabi say, how did he fall all the way to the ground? But because he was cholesh al goyim. What does cholesh al goyim mean? So the Gemara says, Amar Abba Ravuna melamed shayam matil pur al gedolei malchut. He used to draw lots every day to the kings of the world. Lida eze ben yomosh meshkav zachur. In order to know which day he's going to commit homosexuality with this king and what with the other king. Uchtiv, and therefore we see the word cholesh. Cholesh means to draw lots. And therefore, that's why the Mishnah used the word halashim. You see, it's a lottery. Uchtiv, and it says, Vechkol malche goyim kulam. And he did it with all the goyim. Amar Yohanan, and actually the end of that pasuk is, end of that pasuk says, it's pasuk in Chet. Sheol metachat ragzal lecha lekad boecha ored lecha refaim kol atu de'eres yekim mekesotam kol malke goyim kolam ya'anu v'yomru elecha gam ata choleta chamonu elecha nemshata. So Gemara Gnos Pain Amar Yohanan Shenachu memishkab zachur, which means it says that they rested, meaning when he died. The prophets prophesied about the death of Nebuchadnezzar. So when he died, all the goyim rested. How did they rest? So it says, Shenachu memishkab zachur. But now they rest, they didn't have to do homosexuality with Nebuchadnezzar anymore. Amar Yohanan, kol yamav shoto rasha, lo nimsa shchok befei kol b'riyah. As long as Nebuchadnezzar was living, you cannot find a smile in the face of any human being. He was a tyrant. Shnei Amar, as the pasuk says, Nacha shaketa kol ha'aretz pashu dina. When he died, then the whole world broke out in joy. Mechlal da'adashta lo avarina. Implying that until now there was no joy and happiness. V'amar v'yitzhak amar v'yuhanan, Asur la'amod bebeto shel oto rasha. If you know where Nebuchadnezzar lives, it's forbidden to go to the house of Nebuchadnezzar. Why? Shne'emar u'se'irim yirkidu sham. Says God said that the demons and the spirits are going to dance over there. And therefore you have to fulfill the will of God and let them dance there. If a human being goes into a place where there's demons, the demons leave. So therefore God said, I don't want that place to be devoid of demons. Therefore, no human being can set foot there. V'amar Rav Yehuda amar Rav, b'sha'a shebikesh oto rasha la'asot oto tzaddik, kach, when Nebuchadnezzar wanted to commit Mishkav Zachur with Tzidkiyah Melech, nemshecha orlato shelosh me'ot amma. It says his foreskin extended 300 amot. Vaita mahazeret al kol ha-mesibah kula. And actually spun around the entire group. Which is all the kings saw what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Ken yavdu kol avecha Hashem. Shne'emar, like the pasuk says, savata kalo mekavod. Which means you were satiated with more shame than respect. Shte gam ata ve'aril. You drink from the same cup, so to speak, you the uncircumcised one. So the Gemara says, Arel b'gematria shelosh me'otave. The word Arel equals gematria 300. So you see, it's alluding to us that that's what happened to him. Now Nebuchadnezzar went down to Gehinnom after he died. All the people in Gehinnom got scared. Amru shemel nimshol alehem uba. Maybe now he's going to come and rule on us. I mean, even in Gehinnom they were scared of Nebuchadnezzar. Or lehalot kemotam. Or maybe he's coming to get punished like all of us. They didn't know exactly what the purpose of his coming to Gehinnom was. Either to rule or to get, let's say, sick and weak like they are. So it says, Shneimal, how do we know that they had these concerns? So, because the Pasuk says, Gam ata huneta chamonu, which means, did you come down to get weak like us? Or elenu nimshalta? Or maybe you came down to be Moshel on us, to rule on us. Yetzta bat kol v'amra. So the bat kol, heavenly voice came out and says, Mimina amta reda ve'oshkeba et arelim. Which means the Pasuk came along and said, you thought that you're going to come now to Geinam. Na'amta, you thought you're going to be in a pleasant situation? Go down over there and take your place with all the uncircumcised. That means he got punished because of his deeds. Now the Pasuk says, Ech shavat moges shaveta madheba. It says when Nebuchadnezzar died, so it says shavat stopped madheba. What is madheba? So the Gemara says, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Shaveta Umazu. The nation of Babel stopped when Nebuchadnezzar died. She'amra Medod Vehabe. They were a very greedy nation. They loved money. So they used to always say, Medod, measure money and bring it to us. Jeez, they didn't want to count the money. So they would tell the people, you count it, measure, bring it in in measured bags, and give us all the money. So they would call them Madheba. Because their saying used to be medod, measure the money for us, because we don't want to count it. We want it to be counted already, and bring it to us. And some say shamra meod meod havi. Madeba means meod, just bring a lot. Which is according to this version, they were saying you don't even have to count it; just bring it. Meod meod, just bring a lot of it. So they were very very greedy. There's all the tax they used to collect. So the Gemara says, below mida, right, without even measuring it. The Pasuk says regarding Nebuchadnezzar, Verabu yetere hosaft li. That's actually a Pasuk in Daniel. Urbu yetira hosfat li. So what does this Pasuk mean? Amar Abida Marav, Yirmiya bar Abba Melamed, Shelachab al Ari Zachar, Vekashar tanin berosho. Which means the Nebuchadnezzar, for a period of his life, for 7 years, became like an animal. Which means he lived like an animal, he walked on all four, and he became an animal. But after that punishment of Nebuchadnezzar, he came back to power. So they added power to Nebuchadnezzar. So what did he do? It says he used to ride on a lion. Now, of course, a lion is a very ferocious animal. And he would place a snake as a tiara, as a dangerous snake, on the head of the lion as he was riding it. So the Gemara says, Melamed shirachav al ari zachar, a male lion, v'kashar tanin birosh, and he put a snake on its head, v'kayem mash ne'emar, v'gam et hayat ha-sadeh natati lo la'adol. As the Pasuk says, God gave the domain to Nebuchadnezzar. I'm not only human beings, but even the animals also were in his domain. So the Pasuk is saying that was added to Nebuchadnezzar after his 7 years of living like an animal was added to more years of power. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen. Amen.